So you may have heard some of those jokes before, and I want to talk to the kids for just a minute. So wherever you are, kids in the living room, come a little closer, because we're going to talk about dads. And you may be in a living room with your dad right now. You may not have a dad in your home, but you have others who love you and care for you, men and uncles and grandpas, and special people in your life. So, but I do want to talk about dads for just a minute. Some of those jokes were pretty corny, weren't they? So here's a little secret. As a dad, I want to speak to you as kids and how I think you can help your dad. So one of the reasons that we dads are kind of corny, and we are, is because humor helps us when we get fearful and afraid, or when we're not sure what to do, which is maybe a little different than fear, but you need to know that all dads aren't always sure of themselves, don't always know what to do, don't always know what to say. And sometimes we want to fix things, and sometimes we just want to make everything better and make everyone happy. And so I'll bet that your dad has at some time told a corny joke. One, because he wanted to make you laugh. And two, because maybe there was something that was making him a little nervous, whatever was going on in your house. And maybe he was nervous because you were sad. Or maybe he was nervous because you were mad. Maybe he was nervous because he didn't know if you were going to actually eat the dinner that he made especially for you because your mom was gone. Who knows? I'm just telling you that we dads sometimes want to make everyone laugh so that they'll feel better. So again, we're talking about not being afraid. That's what we talked about last week. And Jesus saying to his followers, no matter what, no matter how hard things get, no matter how uncomfortable you get, don't be afraid. And God says that again and again. So as your pastor, I want to say to you, the kids in our church, don't be afraid. And when you get afraid, go to your mom, go to your dad, go to your grandparents, go to the people in your life that you trust, and just say, I'm afraid. Can you help me? And then let me just tell you that it's okay as a kid to go to your dad or go to your mom occasionally, either one of them, and just say, when it looks like maybe they're getting a little fearful or anxious. And we do get fearful and anxious. Moms and dads do. It's okay to go to them and just say, don't be afraid, Dad. You're doing a great job. Don't be afraid. Let's just try this together. Don't be afraid. I'll get over being sad. Don't be afraid. I like your corny jokes, even if no one else is laughing. Don't be afraid. When you cook dinner, even if it's not as good as Mom's dinner, we really appreciate you. So I would like us to pray for our dads, who may be with you and may not be with you, and also pray to our heavenly dad and just thanking him for all the ways he helps us all when we get afraid. Let's pray together. You pray with me, okay? Dear God, thank you for our dads, for our fathers, and our grandfathers, and all the people who take care of us. Please help our dads to trust you, and please help us to trust you too. Thank you that because you're our Father, we don't have to be afraid. Thank you that you take care of all of us. Thank you that we're all in your family. Thank you for Jesus, who was a perfect son for you, his Father, so that all of us who struggle to be sons and daughters and mothers and fathers can know for certain that we're always loved and always welcome. Thank you for being our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that out of all of the Psalms, Psalms 23 is probably the most well-known and recognized Psalms and maybe even passages of the Bible. And not just for Christians or churchgoers, but in general, most people have heard of or are familiar with Psalm 23. It's been quoted in movies, heard in songs, read in books, etched on plaques, printed on posters, and sewn into the fabric of culture along with so many of those lovely throw pillows. And perhaps what draws people to this psalm has been the truth of its words that for centuries have soothed the soul and brought a sense of peace during times of despair and uncertainty. Words that have comforted through times of sorrow and loss, filling us with hope when we feel powerless, worried, and afraid. Perhaps it's how these six verses seem to cover the scope of life, from seasons of green pastures and still waters to the deep and dark valleys that we go through, and the enemies that we face and struggle with, and how through all of that we have a promise, the promise of God's presence, provision, and protection, assuring us that we never walk alone, and that we have all that we need. We can all agree on the comfort and familiarity of these words that are found in Psalm 23. But I am also so thankful and grateful for the way that God continues to speak to us, challenge us, comfort us, convict us through His Word, even in such a well-known and familiar passage. Because I admit, I thought I had this psalm dialed in. I thought I had this psalm figured out. In fact, there was a time in seminary where I could translate Psalm 23 from Hebrew to English. Now, granted, my translation read like no other translation we have, but I knew what it said and I knew the nuances of the language. And I could apply it in numerous ways in numerous circumstances. And of course, since we're doing a sermon series called Fear Not, I mean, obviously, we have to include Psalm 23. I mean, it's a classic. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Such a familiar and hopeful reminder of God's presence with us and protection over us. And yet, even as familiar as this verse is, we find ourselves confronted by fear. Maybe even overwhelmed by fear with all that's happening in our world today. Perhaps we find ourselves deep in the valley, surrounded on all sides by walls of fear that feel like they're pushing in and pushing down on us. We find ourselves unable to say with confidence, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Or how about Psalm 23:1? I mean, the first verse of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And many of us can recite this verse from memory, and we know this verse very well. And yet, do we find ourselves still wanting, still longing and yearning for more? Do we find ourselves unsatisfied, desiring more? I want this pandemic to be over. I want to hug people. I want to gather with large groups of people. I want to be liked and affirmed by others because I'm a people pleaser. I want the assurance that it's going to be okay. I want world peace. I want to be in control. I want. And not all of these things are bad things to want. But the problem is when our fears become connected to our wants, and our wants become connected to our identity, and all of those wants end up consuming and controlling us. Wants that will never leave us content or satisfied or fulfilled or at peace. And if it sounds exhausting, it's because it is. always wanting, always longing, always wanting more, never satisfied. We know what Psalm 23 says. We are familiar with God's promise here. And yet, if we still find ourselves consumed and overwhelmed by fear, full of worry, and constantly wanting more, perhaps we fall into the hidden danger of familiarity. And while familiarity can be a wonderful and comforting thing, like your favorite pair of jeans or a warm, cuddly blanket, it also has a hidden danger. And with familiarity comes the hidden danger of something becoming commonplace or ordinary. So ordinary that we end up taking it at face value or for granted. And in the process, we lose a sense of awe and wonder. It makes me think about Wawa. Let me tell you about Wawa. And I know you might be thinking, Wah, what? Wawa? What is that? Is he speaking English? But let me attempt to explain. Growing up in Philly, there was an amazing and wonderful place called Wawa. It was a chain of stores in Pennsylvania and now all over the East Coast. And in my feeble attempts to describe it, I can only describe it as a combination of a deli, a coffee shop, mixed with a convenience store, all-in-one stop, gas station place. That is awesome. And it was full of promise of great hoagies and good eats any time of the day. Breakfast, second breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, and everything in between and after. And for anyone growing up in Philly, it was such a familiar and comforting and convenient part of our lives and culture. I remember in high school, my dad declared Friday as Wawa Day. And he would take us to school on Friday. And on our way to school, we would stop at Wawa. And we would stop to fill up with breakfast sandwiches, hash browns, soft pretzels, coffee, and a candy bar for later. Such great memories. But the thing is, over time, the familiarity of it all became a common and ordinary part of life. No awe or wonder or appreciation at how great it really was. Until I moved away and could no longer go to Wawa. A few years ago on our mission trip to Philadelphia, our students got to experience Wawa, and it was awesome. And it was awesome seeing them experience what I had grown up with and was so used to and familiar with. And for me, it was a reminder of the greatness and the awesomeness of Wawa that I had taken for granted and had fallen to the hidden danger of familiarity. And when it comes to the gospel and God's word, familiarity can become a hidden danger. It can become a hindrance, especially to hearing and living into the power and promises of God's word. Psalm 23 is a passage that is full of power, of promise, and possibility. And as I've paused and prayed and listened through this text, God has been speaking and teaching and reminding me of some old things and some new things and some things that I never really noticed or things that I had taken for granted. And so the question I've had to answer and the question for us is, have we become too familiar that we are missing out on the abundant life Jesus has to offer that comes from living into the power and promise found in Psalm 23? Again, we know the words of this psalm. We know God's promise here. But how many of us are living daily into the promise and the power of this passage? Here in verse 1, we find not only a promise, but we also find an answer, a solution to experience and living into the abundant life that God has for us. A life found in Christ where our needs are met and we are free from fear, from worry and anxiety. I mean, what an amazing promise and possibility. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or another translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Which raises another question that we need to ask ourselves. Is the Lord my shepherd? Can we declare and say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? And do we believe and do we trust that God, or more specifically, Jesus, is the good shepherd, the shepherd of my life? Because the promise that God lays out here is that if we believe and that if we trust and live our lives with the Lord as our shepherd, then we will not be in want. We will have all that we need. The Apostle Paul echoes this truth in Philippians 4:19. And it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And what this means is that Jesus is enough. Jesus is what we need, and Jesus is all we need. He is the good shepherd, and whether we are in the green pastures or by still water or in the dark valley or in the presence of our enemies, the good shepherd is with us. The good shepherd is by our side. And in whatever that we're going through, in whatever problem or difficulty that we face, in whatever worry or fear that comes our way, Psalm 23 promises us that the Good Shepherd will provide what we need, and what we need is Jesus. Jesus claims this truth for us in John chapter 10. And in this chapter, he paints a clear picture of the enemy, who is the thief. And the thief is the one who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says that I have come, and I have come that you may have life, and you may have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And we find this truth, we find all of this wrapped into the power and promise of Psalm 23. The abundant, secured, and blessed life to those who trust and follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is all we need. But get this, he is not all that we get. I mean, talk about the abundant and full life that God invites us and welcomes us into. That even though Jesus is all that we need, he is not all that we get. We see in Psalm 23 that we get and we receive guidance and wisdom, restoration, strength, boldness, courage, blessing, peace, security, and so much more. When the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We have all that we need. And so are we living into this promise? Are we choosing Jesus, the good shepherd, to shepherd our lives? But before we can say yes, we also need to acknowledge this is where we usually get hung up. Because if the Lord is our shepherd, then what does that make us? Sheep, right? Sheep. And to be honest, we don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd. We want to call the shots. We want to have control of our life. Our default is to become and to be our own shepherd. And the enemy, the thief, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour and will do everything to convince and to deceive us into thinking that we need to be the shepherd of our lives. And while we are busy being deceived and convinced that we need to be the shepherd of our lives, we actually are still sheep. And we are sheep that are being enslaved and being shepherded by our own fear, our own pride, envy, worry, anxiety, and a want that is never satisfied. We can't be the shepherd. I mean, even if we want to deny or pretend or try to convince ourselves otherwise, the truth remains that we are sheep. Bah! And this isn't new news, right? We read in Isaiah 53 that all of us, we all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. We are sheep, and sheep need a shepherd, a good and perfect shepherd. Because the thing about sheep is, they easily get distracted or lost. They don't really see all that well. They don't make great choices, and they need constant supervision and leadership and direction. And so if we choose anything or anyone besides Jesus to be our shepherd, we will find ourselves distracted and lost, unsatisfied and wanting, restless and weary, fearful and frantic. So what does it look like when Jesus is our shepherd? When the Lord is our shepherd, we will have what we need, and we are invited and welcomed into a relationship. A relationship between the good and perfect shepherd who knows his sheep and his sheep know him. A relationship between God and his beloved children. And as the good shepherd, he knows exactly what we need. He knows when we need it, and he knows the best way to meet our needs. And so when Jesus is our shepherd, he makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us to still water. You know, I never really thought about the Lord making us lie down. I mean, if we're being honest, the majority of us, we find it difficult to lie down, to rest, to be still, to pause and have our souls restored. But the truth of it is, we need it. We need rest. We need stillness. We need to sit and be present with God and the Good Shepherd, the one who reminds us who we are and whose we are. God knows this, and truly this is how we are restored, by resting, by being still, by being present with God, our Father. And so, not only is this a picture of the good and perfect shepherd, but it's also a picture of the good and perfect Father. I mean, parents, have you ever had to make your child lie down and take a nap? You know they need some rest, but they are convinced, they are so convinced, as they stomp off to their rooms crying and screaming and yelling, "I'm not tired!" But we know them better. We know them better than they know themselves. We know that they are tired and that they need to rest and that they aren't wise enough to make that choice for themselves. Jesus, as our shepherd, makes us lie down. And I found interesting and I found insightful what Philip Keller wrote in regard to sheep and lying down in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, which, by the way, I recommend picking up and reading it, as it has many great insights into this psalm. But here in his book, he says, "It is almost impossible for sheep to lie down unless four requirements are met. Sheep refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear, free from friction with other sheep within the flock. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. And then lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. It is significant that to be at rest, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravations, and hunger. A flock that is restless, discontented, always agitated and disturbed, never does well, and the same is true of people." So if you didn't think we were like sheep before, I mean, this pretty much nails it on the head. And Jesus, the good shepherd, Jesus knows what we need and he provides us. He invites us into a relationship and shepherds us first and foremost into rest and into freedom. I love Eugene Peterson's translation of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And in this verse, it just emphasizes the truth of this relationship. And it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When Jesus is our shepherd, he leads us and he is with us. And even as the path moves from green pastures and still waters to the valley and troubling times, the good shepherd is with us. Because eventually we will go through valleys and difficult times. But God is with us. God is with us through our struggles and our darkest valleys. God is with us. God is with us, and he's not leading us to the valley, but he's leading us through the valley. And even in the midst of oppressive and frightening and difficult circumstances that offer every reason to fear, we can experience the power and promise of Psalm 23. That God is with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you, will guide you, and will protect you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says it like this. He has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" When Jesus is our shepherd, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And our enemies can be anything from a circumstance to a person to a situation, or even our own fear, guilt, shame, envy, and anger. Now, personally, I would rather God just wipe it all away and get rid of all of my enemies. I mean, I don't want to be in the presence of them. I mean, can't it just be me and Jesus? But the present reality that we live in is that we live in a broken and fallen world. And even a life lived in the presence, promise, and power of God is still a life lived in a world that is not yet fully restored. Not yet fully restored to the fullness and the wholeness that God has planned for it and has planned for us. And just because Jesus is our shepherd doesn't mean that we will be without troubles or cares or pain or enemies or the dangers of this world. But the gospel and the promise here is that we are at the table and in the presence of the King, the Good Shepherd, the one who calls us his beloved, the one who loves and values you so very much, the one who leaves the 99 to come after you. He prepares a table for you, and he sits with you in the presence of your enemies. Do not fear, for he is greater. He is more powerful, and there is nothing that can separate you from the love and the care of the Good Shepherd. And the thing about his care and his care is not temporary or seasonal, but it is constant and abundant. His goodness and mercy, they will follow you, they will pursue you all of the days of your life. And so, may we find rest in Jesus the Good Shepherd. May his constant presence renew and restore our restless hearts. Fear not. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. We have all that we need. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, for these words that are comforting, that are powerful, that are full of promise and possibility of the abundant life that you invite us and welcome us into. God, continue to remind us of your word, of your truth. Fill us with your presence. That even through the green pastures or the deepest, darkest valley, God, that you are with us. And God, you know that we are like sheep. God, you know we easily get distracted. You know that we easily go off the path. But God, we thank you. We thank you that you never give up on us, that you never fail in pursuing us. That even as we stumble, even as we fall, even as we go off path, you draw us back. You draw us back to you. And so, God, help us to rest. Make us lie down and help us to be still. To know that you are God. To know that you are in control. To know that we have nothing to fear. We thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.